We're going to look into God's Word again to see all that Jesus taught. That is our theme for these studies. And it's because we have this burden which we received from Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, to go into every nation, make disciples, and to teach them, Jesus said, everything that I have commanded. Teach them to do it. That means you've got to do it ourselves first, and then teach others to do not just a few important things, but the word Jesus used was all that I commanded. What a phrase that is. Every single thing that I have taught and commanded, it is your responsibility to go into every nation and proclaim that. And the early apostles did that. But through the centuries, Christian preachers and teachers have slowly compromised on that, and they have left out major sections of what Jesus taught. So we're looking at Matthew chapter 5 now, and we go today to Matthew 5 verse 33. I was mentioning that this whole section is an expansion of what Jesus said in Matthew 5:20. Your righteousness must surpass or exceed the quality of the righteousness of the Pharisees, which is only external. Yours must be internal as well. Jesus was expanding the understanding of the Ten Commandments. He was saying murder means more than murder. It means anger in the heart. He says adultery means more than adultery. It means lusting after a woman in your heart. It means divorcing your wife. That's adultery. And now he goes on to the matter of making vows. He said in verse 33, in the Old Testament, the law was, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. In other words, a vow is something that, like today we'd say, swearing something under oath. People put their hand on a Bible and say, now I'm going to speak the truth. What they mean is, most of the time I tell lies, but now I'm going to speak the truth. That's the meaning of a vow. Or when you put your hand on your Bible and swear. That's why in James it says, don't swear. You should be speaking the truth all the time. That's what Jesus said here. I say to you, don't make an oath by heaven or by the throne of God or by the Bible. Don't swear. The heaven is the throne of God and the earth is his footstool. And Jerusalem is the city of the great king. And you must not make an oath by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black in your head. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. That's quite a strong word. Anything beyond these is from the evil one. What was he saying in the sum and substance of these five verses is that we should always be truthful, not only with our words. We must not be ingenious and clever and subtle with our words and say, legally I spoke the truth, as it were in a court of law. We must be basically known as truthful people and not tell lies to people in anything. Our yes must be yes and our no must be no. Anything other than that is evil. If I have to say in a devious way, yes or no, there's something wrong there. It leads ultimately to hypocrisy. So even though the Old Testament, by the way, there was no commandment which said, you shall not tell lies. If you read the Ten Commandments, the commandment in Exodus in chapter 20 was not, you shall not tell lies. The commandment was, you shall not bear false witness. The ninth commandment was, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. That's basically referring to a court of law. That in a court of law, you don't tell a lie. In other words, you swear to something, you must speak the truth when you're in a court of law. That was the standard in the Old Testament because God knew that nobody can keep a command saying you shall not tell lies. There was no commandment in the Old Testament saying you shall not lose your temper, because God knew nobody could keep it. You shall not murder, it was the commandment. There was no commandment in the Old Testament which says don't lust after a woman, because God knew nobody could keep it. So the commandment was don't commit physical adultery. But in the New Covenant, with the gift of the Holy Spirit, coming within. Without the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's impossible. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, a power comes in, like electricity that lights up a light or runs the fan or runs our gadgets, then we can do certain things which we could not do without the power of the Holy Spirit. So now it's possible to overcome lust of the eyes. It's possible to overcome anger. It's possible to stop shouting at your wife or husband. It's possible to speak the truth even when you don't swear. It's possible to speak the truth all the time. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. In other words, to use a more up-to-date illustration, if you have signed a sale deed or any other deed or agreement in a court of law with witnesses, and you're very careful to read that agreement before you sign it because you know you have to keep it, it'll be enforced by the court of law. For a Christian, his word is as good as that signed agreement. Now, would you say that's true? I remember once when in my own life I'd agreed someone wanted to buy something that I was selling in my house. It was fairly expensive. And we agreed for a price, but he didn't come back to take it for many months, I think. And by the time, the value of that thing had gone up. And I could have said to him, hey, the value of this has gone up and you didn't take it then. But I had agreed to him verbally. I didn't sign an agreement, but I had verbally agreed to give it to him for that price. And the Lord said to me, let your yes be yes and your no be no. He was a brother in Christ, and all the more reason why I wanted to keep my word to him. I said, sure, you can have it for that price. Of course, he was delighted. What did I suffer? Maybe a certain loss financially. I could have made a few thousand rupees, perhaps more, by giving it to him at a higher price. But I would have had a bad conscience that I did, my yes was not yes. It's worth losing a little bit of money to be upright and to be Christ-like in our conduct. In many areas, it's when it comes to money that we're tested to see whether we're willing to let our yes be yes and our no be no. So God tests us in this area before he can lead us higher. I found in my life many, many times God tests me with these commandments to see whether I live according to this in places where I may have to lose something or sacrifice something. And then I discover whether I really believe it or not. There are many situations where speaking the truth costs us nothing. There's no test there. But when speaking the truth can perhaps cost you your job, then you are tested by God to see whether God can lead you to higher ministry. I believe many of these areas are where God tests us. And many, many people, young people, have failed God's test. I remember once asking the Lord, I said, Lord, India's got 1,200 million people. What a huge population. Where are the prophets in this land who speak for you, who speak faithfully for you? We have wonderful evangelists, but where are the prophets who hold up God's standard in his word in every single area, exactly the way Jesus taught and lived and spoke? And here's what the Lord has spoken to me in answer to that question. The Lord says, I have prepared many young people to be my prophets in this land, but many of them have fallen away through failing the test. Either they go after money, or they join up with some American Christian organization to get a better salary, or they marry the wrong person, or they are unfaithful with their eyes or their tongue, and they don't take sin seriously. And so by the time they could have become prophets, they are unfit, and I have to set them aside. And that has happened to so many. I believe it's happened to hundreds of people. I myself have seen wonderful, zealous young people when I was a young man. And where are they today? Fallen by the wayside. There's been a tremendous loss for God. He doesn't force anybody to be his faithful servant. I believe he wants you and me to be faithful servants of his. But whether you're going to be faithful or not, whether you're going to stick to the standards of God's word, or whether you're going to be a compromiser to please people will determine whether you ever become a true servant of God or not. If I seek to please men, I cannot be the servant of Christ. Galatians 1:10 is absolutely clear. I remember I had that verse written on a little wooden plaque, and I kept it in my sitting room before me for 25 years. I watched it and watched it every day. If I seek to please men, I cannot be the servant of Christ, till it was drilled into my mind. I don't need it in front of me now. I know it in my heart. But this is a very important principle. If you ever seek to please men, I can tell you in Jesus' name, you will never be a servant of God. So don't ever seek to please men. Seek to please God. Jesus spent those 30 years seeking to please his Father, and he got a certificate at the end. The question is not whether men think you're truthful. That's my point. Can God say about you that your yes is always yes and your no is always no? Think for a situation, for example, if you're working in an office and maybe there's an expensive machine there which you accidentally misused and spoilt, and the thing doesn't work now. But nobody saw you doing it. Many people use that machine. And a little later on, maybe the next day, somebody discovers the thing's not working. And the authorities come around, the boss comes and says, "Who spoiled this machine?" And you know it was you. But you keep quiet, because there's no way they can find out. A lot of people were using it. Who used it last? And you keep quiet. You think you haven't told a lie, you didn't open your mouth, but you did tell a lie. You told a lie without opening your mouth. You did not admit that you were the one who used it last and spoiled it in some way. And therefore, you keep your job. Maybe if you had confessed it, they'd have sacked you from the job because it is an expensive machine. Which is more important at that time? The devil comes to you at that time and says, "A lie is almighty." And if you tell a lie, you can preserve your job and be here. And at the same time, the Holy Spirit whispers to your heart, "No, a lie is not almighty. God is almighty." And if you trust God in this situation and speak the truth, maybe you will lose your job, but God will give you a better one. Do you have that faith? It is in such situations that we are tested. I'm not speaking in theory. Many, many times God has tested me in different things in this area, in these different areas, to see not whether I'm clever and ingenious to find my way out of some situation, but whether I'm honest and willing to pay a price for speaking the truth. And that is how He anointed me and gave me a ministry to speak the truth from the pulpit, irrespective of the cost. I believe God wants many, many prophets of God in the pulpits in Christendom today who will speak the truth irrespective of the cost. If they get thrown out of here or thrown out of there or thrown out of anywhere, or despised, rejected, misunderstood, criticized, falsely accused, anything, but who will speak the truth. And the way God will prepare you for that ministry is by testing you in the ordinary circumstances of life to see whether you will speak the truth in different circumstances in your secular job, even if you have to pay a price for it and lose your job for it or lose money for it because you stand for the truth. So this is a very important area. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. Let me read to you what Jesus spoke about the Spirit of Truth in John chapter 16. He said, "The Spirit of Truth, John 16:13, will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own initiative. He will disclose you what is to come. He will lead you into all the truth." I want my life to be totally truthful from head to foot in my entire inner being, because that's what it means to follow Jesus. Jesus, "I am the truth." So often, even Christian preachers are diplomatic in the way they speak to others. They say, "If I say it like this, well, that could cause a little problem. And so I become diplomatic. You know that Jesus was never diplomatic. He always spoke the truth straight out. I don't mean he was rude, and I don't believe he should be rude. But he was not diplomatic for any personal gain. I believe we should be gracious and considerate in speaking the truth. I'm not asking you to be rude to people. I mean, if someone is ugly, you don't tell that person you're ugly and say, I'm speaking the truth. Or tell someone you're fat. That's rudeness. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about speaking the truth where it's going to affect you. We are always gracious when we speak to other people, but we must be truthful when it comes to ourselves. Do you know that the Holy Spirit leads us into all the truth? And the first sin that was judged in the early church was the sin of dishonesty, not the sin of covetousness. In Acts chapter 5, we read of Ananias and Sapphira, who saw so many people selling their lands and bringing it to the apostles' feet, as we read in Acts 4:34. A lot of people are doing that. And Ananias and Sapphira also wanted the reputation in the church of being wholehearted, surrendered to God completely. So they also sold a bit of their land, but they didn't give the whole thing. Let's assume they sold the land for 100,000 rupees, and they kept back 50,000 rupees. And gave 50%. They brought 50% to the church. Now, if somebody sold their property today and brought 50% of their sale proceeds to God, you would call that person a wholehearted Christian. People don't even give 10% of their sale price to God. Here's somebody who gave 50%. Why was he killed? Not because of what he gave or didn't give, but because he told a lie. He stood in the line, in the queue with others, kept his mouth shut. As the people were leaving their money at the apostles' feet, he also left his money and moved on. As he moved on, Peter said, Ananias, come back here. God gave Peter discernment. This guy's a liar. And he told him, when this land was yours, Acts 5:4, it was your own. Nobody asked you to sell it. God doesn't want your money or your land. Everybody's giving it voluntarily. And after you sold it, the money was still yours. Nobody's asked you to give 50% or even 10% or even 1%. Why have you thought of this? You have told a lie to God. But Ananias could have said, I never opened my mouth. I never said a word. Do you know you can tell a lie to God without opening your mouth? He was just standing in line, putting the money there at the apostles' feet and moving on. He never opened his mouth. But in that action was a lie. This is hypocrisy, to pretend. You can come to fellowship in a church and pretend to be wholehearted like all the others. You're a liar. If you sit with people pretending to be wholehearted like the others and you're not wholehearted, you're a liar, even though you didn't open your mouth. You can say, sing to Jesus, take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold, because you're singing along with all the others. The tune is nice, the words are nice, but you may be an absolute liar because you don't mean it. A lot of Christians tell more lies to God on Sunday than any other day of the week with the songs they sing. All to Jesus I surrender. You haven't surrendered all. You're a liar. Now, you may not hear a preacher tell you the truth, but you need to hear it because it is the truth. If you've surrendered all to Christ, say it. Otherwise, keep your mouth shut. Or to say, Lord, I want to surrender all. I haven't done it all. That's more honest. It doesn't matter if it doesn't fit in with the tune that others are singing. You be honest with God. And likewise, later on, his wife comes and says the same thing. It was that lying. You can tell a lie without opening your mouth. And what is the consequence of this? It says in 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, those who don't receive the love of the truth, notice this expression, loving the truth is more than speaking the truth. I can speak the truth, but a higher level is to love the truth. I have such a tremendous longing to speak the truth that I love it and I don't want to ever have any lie in me. If I don't receive the love of the truth to be saved from all lying, it says in 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 11 that God himself will deceive me. That's one of the most fearful verses in the New Testament. That if you don't love the truth, Dear friend, let me tell you straight to your face, God Almighty will deceive you. Almighty God will deceive you. Satan is a deceiver. Your lusts deceive you. Your heart is deceitful. On top of that, if Almighty God, who's your only hope of protection from deception, if He also decides to deceive you, there's no hope for you. And it says here in 2 Thessalonians 2:11, God will make you believe what is false. He'll make you believe that you're born again when you're not born again. He'll make you believe that you're filled with the Holy Spirit when you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Who? Not the devil. God. Why? Because of one reason. You don't receive the love of the truth. Do you know the first sin mentioned in the Bible? What is the first sin that you see in the Bible? A lie. When Satan told a lie to Eve saying, "You shall not die." That's the first sin mentioned in the Bible. It's a lie. What's the last sin mentioned in the Bible? You turn to Revelation and chapter 22 and you see there, lying. That is the last sin in Revelation 22:15. Those who practice lying are outside. So the first sin and the last sin mentioned in the Bible is lying. The first sin judged in the early church was lying. The people whom God deceives are those who don't love the truth. So it's very important for us to take this seriously. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. That protects us from deception. Jesus said, "I am the way." Well, we all appreciate that. We acknowledge Jesus is the way. "I am the life," He said. We appreciate that. We want the life of Jesus. But He also said, "I am the truth. I'm reality." They couldn't have this in the Old Testament, you know. David says in Psalm 51, where he makes his confession after sinning with Bathsheba, this is what he says. Psalm 51 and verse 6. "Lord, I realize You desire truth in the innermost being. I don't have it. I've been a hypocrite. I could kill Goliath. I could defeat the Philistines. But I was a hypocrite in my heart. I sinned with Bathsheba, tried to cover it up by, first of all, getting her husband to go to her bed that day. I didn't succeed there. Then I got rid of the husband and married her. Lord, I realize You desire truth in the innermost being, and I don't have it." This is one of the wonderful things we can have today because of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth will make us truthful all the way to the innermost being of our life, of our heart. In Revelation chapter 14, it speaks about certain people who are standing with the Lamb on Mount Zion, Revelation 14. A group of overcomers who follow the Lamb wherever He goes, Revelation 14:4. And one characteristic about them is Revelation 14:5, "No lie was found in their mouth." The children of Israel, children of men, are liars from the time they are born. We read that in Psalm 58. But here's a group of people who are completely delivered from lying, so that there is no lie found in their whole system. They have become like Jesus, full of truth. So I want to encourage you, dear brothers and sisters and my dear friends, we need to cleanse ourselves from every type of lying. And I'll tell you this, even if you have to pay a price for speaking the truth, if you stand for the truth and you decide that you're going to eliminate lying from your life 100%, your life will be clean, you'll be able to see God, and you will never be deceived in all your life by any of the deceptions that are going around in Christendom today. You will know the truth, because God Himself will show you the truth, and you will never be deceived about your spiritual condition. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your goodness to us in giving us Your Word so clearly and simply. In Jesus' name, Amen.